That's on.
Okay, I'm going to call this meeting to order.
Sure.
And I'll do the Pledge of Allegiance. We're going to have an invocation by Jean Houston, and then the Pledge of Allegiance by myself, and then we'll do a roll call.
Our Father in heaven, we're indeed grateful for our many blessings. We're thankful for the opportunities that we have to be able to serve on this board and to be a part of this valley and the things that happen here. We're thankful to live in this country where we're free to do those things. We're thankful for the blessings that we receive. And we ask you to bless us here this evening, that we'll be able to discuss those things that will affect us, and that we'll be able to make decisions that will better our community and those people that we serve. We recognize thy hand in all our many blessings, and we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, I'm Marjorie Holland. I'm the chair of the Moapa Valley Town Advisory Board.
I'm Kristen Pearson. I'm the vice chair.
Lois Hall, member. Megan Porter, member.
Jean Houston, member.
Okay, public comment time. This period is devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote will be taken on this agenda. If you don't feel like you can stay for the remainder of the meeting and you have something to say about something on the agenda, speak now. Okay, approval of November 13th minutes for possible action. Do I hear a...
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes as written.
Okay, we have a motion to accept the minutes as written. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Approval of the agenda for January 15th. Do I hear a motion for the approval of the agenda for January 15th?
I make a motion that we approve the agenda for January 15th.
Okay, the motion's on the table. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, informational items. Members of the U.S. Census Bureau in Nevada to discuss the 2020 census process and provide information on available job opportunities for discussion only.
Hi, that's me, I guess. Hi, everybody. My name is Shalita Guzman. I work for the United States Census Bureau. I am a recruiter, and I'm also doing outreach in the community. So I'm just going to give you a brief overview. I know some of you have heard us before. The census, the decennial census, happens every 10 years. It was actually written into the Constitution as law when our country started. We've been conducting the census every 10 years since 1790. And the reason why the Founding Fathers wrote it into the Constitution was because they wanted to assure that our country would always be governed by the people with fair representation. And so one of the main reasons why we conduct the census every 10 years is because they use the population count to redistribute the seats in the House of Representatives. So if our state loses population, we could lose seats in the House. If we gain population like we did 10 years ago, we can gain seats in the House of Representatives, and we did. 10 years ago, in 2010, we actually got Congressional District 4. We got a new elected official to Congress, so that was really great. So we want to continue that trend and at least stay the same but not lose any representation. And then another really important reason why we do the census is for funding. So they use the population count every 10 years to determine where they're going to send $675 billion every single year for the next 10 years in federal funding. And also a lot of our state funding is also determined by the census count. So that's why it's really important to get a correct count and to reach everyone in our community and make sure that everyone responds to the census in one way or another. So in order to get that job done, we also need to hire people. My coworker. Moral support. We need to hire people to get this job done, and they're actually paying $18 an hour plus paid mileage, paid training, no resume necessary. The schedule is flexible. The only thing about the job that isn't flexible is the initial training. You have to be able to make it to a training for a few days, and then after that the work is done around your own schedule. You can start and stop around whatever other obligations that you have. So I wanted to talk a little bit about our process for the census, what's going to be happening. So talking about the work out here in the rural areas, we're actually going to get to start working sooner than out in the city, because we cannot, as the Census Bureau, we cannot send any information to P.O. boxes. So anywhere that there's no mail delivery to the homes, all around here, we actually have to have people go out and hand deliver those questionnaires initially to houses, and then we leave people alone. We let them do their own census if they choose to. If they do not respond, then later on we send workers back who are trained to then knock on doors and encourage people and conduct the census with those who did not respond. So because of that, out here we're going to have more work for a longer period of time, which is really great. So that's one of our first projects. It's called Update Leave, what I just described, where we leave the census questionnaires. That's going to be starting in March. At the same time, those places that do get mail delivery to homes, for example, where I live in Mesquite, we will be getting invitations in the mail. This is the first time ever that they have tried to modernize and update everything, and they're actually having different options to respond, so people can do it on the phone, online, or the traditional paper questionnaire. So in my area, for example, where I live, we'll be getting those invitations in the mail in March, whereas out here we're going to be getting the hand deliveries. And so then people have the option to respond that way. If they don't, they'll get a reminder later on. If they still don't respond, then they'll get a paper questionnaire with a reminder in the mail. And if after all of that they still don't respond, then we send workers to the doors to knock on the doors, just the addresses that did not respond. So that's all going on in March. Also in March, we start group quarters counting. So any place that is like a college dorm, like UNLV in Las Vegas, any shelters, nursing homes, anywhere where people live in a group like that has a separate process. So we need people to be hired to count and do those projects. And all of that's going on in March. Then April 1st is actual census day. It's kind of just a call to action. Since people are going to be invited to respond starting already in March, it's not like you have to respond on April 1st. It's just the traditional census day, and it's kind of a marking point. From there on, then we start tabulating and processing everybody who did respond. And then by the end of April or so, we get the address list of who did not respond, not who, but just the addresses that we don't have responses from. And again, like I was describing, then the follow-up will start. That's called non-response follow-up. That will be starting in the end of April into May, where people will go out and actually try to conduct the census with those people who did not respond. Fun. And out here, it's a big job because there's a lot of people out of the way in nooks and crannies, and that's why we hire people where they live, because you know your area, hopefully, and would be able to best get around and find those people and speak to them. So then after that, we'll have some quality control projects, some finishing up, just tying up all the loose ends, and we work until the work is done, and then when it's done, it's over for the next 10 years. So not only do we only have one chance every 10 years to have a correct count in our community in order to get all that funding that we need and all of the things I described, we also only have a chance once every 10 years for these jobs as well. That brings me back to the jobs, and the application process is all online. People are welcome to apply at any time if they want to. I have all kinds of information. I have these little flyers. If anyone is interested or knows someone who is, feel free to take one. It has the website right on there where people can apply. And I also have in-person events at our lovely library right here in Overton, and all the libraries. I do them in Mesquite and out in Wampatown as well, where I'm there in person so people can come in and use the computers there. They can ask questions, they can get help, or maybe they just have spotty internet access at home. Whatever the reason might be, they can come in person and use the computers and get help and ask questions. I have all kinds of really great resources and material. I have all kinds of flyers that have information about how we use our census data, why it's important, what kinds of questions are going to be on the census, timelines of the stuff I just described to you, and information about jobs as well. And if anyone is curious or would like some more information, I have plenty of flyers and materials here. Also, we're always looking for opportunities to do this, speak in front of groups of people, just get the word out, do the outreach. The recruiting is kind of wrapping up now. We do have about a month more. Our end date for recruiting is March 1st. So if anyone has been thinking about it, kind of on the back burner, I encourage anyone who is actually interested to apply now, because it is, people are already getting called, and I know of a couple people in the community who actually have gotten jobs already. They've been called, started that employment process. And so this is our last chance to actually get hired and be able to work on the census. But we're continuing to do the outreach to speak to people and get the word out about how important the census is, how they're going to conduct it and the process, and encourage people to respond. So that's another thing that I'm always on the lookout for. Anybody who knows of a group or any opportunity to sit at a table in a corner or get up and speak in front of a group of people, we're always open to come and do that, to get the word out to the community. Does anyone have any questions?
How many people do you already have, and how many are you looking for from the Valley?
So for right here in Overton, for example, I have so far 8 applicants, and I actually need 20. So I still need about 12 people from the actual town of Overton. And then all throughout Logandale and all surrounding. So Overton itself is its own tiny little tract. Mm-hmm. And then everything else around it is a giant big landmass where I need, I think I'm at 22 or so, 21 people, and I need like 48. So I still need about half of those people, about 25 of those people, and another 12 or so in Overton town. And you're hired based on exactly where you live. So if you live inside the town of Overton, then you would count towards those numbers. If you live in Logandale, then you would be in that other outer tract. That doesn't mean that you would only have to work in Overton. You are hired to work in and around where you live, but obviously we've got a lot of surrounding area, and it's quite possible that people who live in Overton might be given assignments further out. And as I mentioned, all of that mileage is paid. When you're in your car driving, you get your hourly rate plus your mileage at the same time. So that's kind of nice, too. And hope that answered.
But when you apply to work for the Census Bureau, you're kept in the Valley where you apply from, right? You're not.
Is that me? Am I standing to go?
No.
Speaker?
Are you? Yeah, you know what? It could be the.
Okay.
You could stand wherever you want.
I just don't want to stand in front of people. Yeah.
I would just talk louder, board, if you could, because I'm going to lower the volume so we don't have that feedback.
Yes, to answer
your
question.
You won't apply out here and go to work in Las Vegas or something?
No, they hire people to work in and around where they live. It would be very rare that you would be asked to go. I mean, that's why they're trying to hire people in Vegas to work in Vegas, you know? It is all taxpayer money, right? So we do try to keep the cost down, and that's another reason. There's two main reasons. One, as I mentioned, people who work where they live know the area better and know their neighbors possibly too. And secondly, we want to cut the cost, you know, and try and keep it as cost effective as possible. So, yes, and the first round of people who get hired, like the supervisors, may have to go get trained in Las Vegas, but then they would be coming back here. I've actually requested a training space at the Overton Community Center, so that's where our trainings would be going on here. And then those supervisors, having been trained in Vegas, would come here and train their crews to work. So, yeah. Any other questions? Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate the opportunity. And, you know, I'm here afterwards if anyone wants any of the materials or has any further questions. Okay? Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I know.
Okay. Do we have anybody here from Clark County Social Services?
We do not.
We do not?
But I will show a video.
Okay. All right.
So do you want to read the item then?
Clark County Social Services, on behalf of Southern Nevada Homeless Continuum of Care, to provide information regarding the 2020 homeless count in Moapa Valley. Clark County is seeking volunteers for the January 30th, 2020 home count and survey in Moapa Valley for discussion only.
Okay.
Do you have a question?
Actually, I know about that. They didn't show up to talk about it. Is that what we're saying?
No, I'm going to show a video
instead.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm going to participate on that in the scheme, so I know a little bit about it.
So, town board, members of the community here in attendance tonight, social service has sent us a video to watch regarding the homeless count that they're going to be doing, and so I will run that now for you.
Hello, I'm Danita Osborne-Warsh from Clark County Social Service, serving as a collaborative applicant, and here to provide an update on Southern Nevada's 2020 point-in-time homeless census. In Southern Nevada, there are more than 5,000 individuals experiencing homelessness on any given day. There are also more than 100 service providers, including government entities, nonprofit organizations, faith-based groups, and corporate partners that are working together to provide homeless prevention and assistance programs to begin and end to homelessness in our community. The Homeless Census is a count and survey of sheltered and unsheltered homeless persons on a single date in January. All three COCs in Nevada, including Northern Nevada, Rural Nevada, and our own Southern Nevada, conduct the census on the same date. Each census is planned, coordinated, and carried out locally and includes reporting on the number of individuals who are in emergency shelters, transitional housing, and are living unsheltered. The census serves several purposes. One purpose is to provide accurate data for service providers so we can improve our local homeless system of care. Another purpose is to meet Department of Housing and Urban Development, or HUD, requirements and remain eligible for federal funds. Finally, the census allows us to understand changes and trends among homeless populations and plan for future services geared to their needs. Coordinated efforts with rural communities ensures that we are capturing all homeless individuals in Southern Nevada, and the effects that this population may have on the communities outside of the bright lights on the Las Vegas Strip. Your assistance with this count in your community will help us ensure we are maximizing resources and services for everyone. As a census volunteer, you'll be part of a team that counts unsheltered homeless persons by canvassing streets, parks, alleys, parking ramps, highway on-ramps, under overpasses, bus stations, campgrounds, parking lots, along the sides of roads, in covered areas, in areas with a lot of bushes to provide shelter, under bridges, in protected areas where there are overhangs or benches, and outside of abandoned buildings or stairwells. Volunteers will be walking or driving areas identified on their maps, also known as census tracks. If you are in a driving track and you can see someone from your car and it is safe to do so, you will exit the car as a team and approach the individual and ask if they would be willing to participate in the 2020 Homeless Census Survey. If your team decides that it is not safe to exit the vehicle or approach the individual, you will remain in the car and report an observation. Your safety and the safety of your entire team comes first. Volunteers in Moapa Valley are important to ensure the accuracy of our census. Residents who live in Overton and Logandale are most familiar with locations where individuals experiencing homelessness might be living, and we rely on your expertise to ensure that these individuals are counted and surveyed. Deployment for the Southern Nevada 2020 Homeless Census for rural areas will be on Thursday, January 30th, 2020. Deployments of volunteer teams will begin in the morning. It is preferable volunteers identify teams of 3 to 4 people and have 1 or 2 phones or tablets available to download a mobile app and survey. Easy-to-follow instructions will be provided, although having some basic knowledge of how to download an app on your phone will be helpful. Training for our volunteers will be available online through a video similar to this one, and support by phone will be available on the day of the count. If you are available on Thursday, January 30th, and are interested in becoming a volunteer from Moapa Valley, please call Help Hope Home at 702-455-5832 to reserve a census deployment spot for you and or your team. Thank you for taking the time to learn more about Southern Nevada.
Thank you for taking the time to learn more about Southern Nevada.
If you have additional questions or are ready to sign up,
if you have additional questions
or are ready to sign up, please call us at 823-455.
What's that going?
There's an echo in there.
Let's have her walk away.
All right, so they apologize they couldn't be here in person, but they sent that video for everybody to watch. They are asking for volunteers, as you heard, for January 30th home count, the count that will be done January 30th, and the home count and survey here in Moapa Valley. If you are interested in volunteering, Amelia would be your contact person. I think all of us have their contact information here at the, on the board. And then out in the community, if you actually look at the agenda, you will see on the first page Amelia's phone number and contact information. So if you are interested, please connect or contact Amelia for that. Shalita, is there anything you want to add from your perspective and how to tie into your efforts too with the census?
Yeah, so the census.
Thank you for doing that, by the way, too.
Yeah. I'm actually going to volunteer on it, but in Mesquite, where I live.
Okay.
So the Census Bureau conducts a survey of the shelters, anywhere where we can get to what we call the group quarters. So transients living in shelters or staying in shelters would be part of that count. But we don't go out on the street, and so we don't capture any of those numbers. And so that's one of the reasons why this, HUD does this every year. I remember I was talking to Brenda this morning. She's been at all the meetings I've been going to. and so every other year I think they have to do non-sheltered, and every year they do sheltered, or maybe it's the opposite, something like that. So, but this year they're doing both. And so they found that their statistics and their data gathering has not been very accurate. And so that's why they're enlisting the help of community members, because obviously those who live in Vegas and work for Social services don't have any knowledge out here of what's going on or where to find any people. And so that's why it's important to get volunteers from the community. Another thing that they're doing is they're looking for peer volunteers, I think they call them. So anyone who knows anyone who actually is homeless, who would be willing to help us find their friends. They're offering $25 gift cards to Walmart. So there's an incentive for individuals who are experiencing homeless, who would like to volunteer and help get that count. They can get that gift card, and even if they just want to give information, they're not being picky about how much they're involving. But they can also be on the team and go around and help find their friends, because they all know where they stay. It's a community, you know? It's a network, and so and as it was saying in the video, you don't have to talk to everybody. The goal is to get 60% of the individuals actually surveyed and spoken to, because that's how we can actually get much more accurate data than just looking at somebody and assuming things about them. But obviously we understand that there's going to be situations where we're not going to want to approach people, or maybe not be able to reach them, where they might be, you know, staying, because, for example, up in Vegas, when you drive by on the highway, you can't just get off in the middle of the highway and start talking to people, so that would be an observation situation. So the goal is 60% actual speaking to people and surveying, and 40% just observation. And out in Mesquite, we're actually going to take cookies, so we're going to take something to offer people when we go speak to them, to help, you know, bridge that barrier of fear, intimidation, or whatever there might be. So. I'm trying to remember if there's anything else. That's pretty much it. Like I said, it's just so important to get the actual data rather than just guessing, you know. And that's really why they're trying to get community members to help out. So.
Okay. Thank you for adding on to that agenda item as well, Chair.
No, I was just going to go on.
Oh. Yeah.
Are you ready to go?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Number three on the informational items is candidates may file with the Clark County Register of Voters, located at 500 South Grand Central Parkway, to serve on the elected Moapa Valley Town Advisory Board. Filing takes place from March 2nd, 2020 to March 13th, 2020 during business hours. Then it has the HTTP www.clarkcountynv.gov/election/document/2020/cg20.pdf for discussion only. I know last time we weren't advised when the election took place, so we were all appointed. So if any of you want this illustrious paying job, have at it.
Well, that's the other thing. What if I just don't sign up? No chance of being on the board?
If you don't go down to...
Well, I'm just asking the question because I didn't sign up last time either, and I'm on the board.
Yeah.
So I did sign up, and I had to report 5 times my financial status with... campaign funds, which is zero every time, because you don't campaign and you don't raise money, but they still require that you do that, and it's just kind of a pain in the butt for a job that pays zero to go down to the county building to sign up and then get online and report your finances, and I think it's like 4 or 5 times during that process, so that we can do a job that we
do for free,
and I'm thinking, really? So I can see signing up, but I don't understand the reporting process that goes, because nobody's collecting funds, right?
No.
I didn't think so. I don't even know a town board that would.
Yeah, so a couple of things. I'm going to answer your question, but let me answer your question first, actually. So there are, out of the 19 town advisory boards and citizen advisory councils that the county manages, there are 5 that have become elected type boards. You're one of the 5 and one of the 3 in the Northeast here. That said, because you are an elected board, the campaign finance laws apply to you as individual members, okay? Whether you're elected or whether you're appointed. Now, what'll happen is this. If by chance you don't go down and you do not register for candidacy at the Clark County Government Center, and it's only a walk-in process for those folks that are interested, if 5 other individuals do, though, they will be duly elected. If you have 10 individuals, then there will be a primary to then whittle that down to 5 individuals. If you have 12 individuals, there will be a primary to whittle that down for a general election. If there are only 2, 1, 2, 3, or 4 individuals, they will be duly elected, and then what will happen, like what happened with you board here, is the county commission will then appoint. So if there are not 5 individuals that actually file for candidacy for this body, for this board, then the county commission shall appoint the balance to get to 5, essentially. Okay? So that's how you were appointed to the board. But there may be 5 individuals that live here in Moapa Valley or more that are interested in running for candidacy and then put their name on the ballot, then you'd be sitting there and, you know, tell them what you want, which is okay.
I've been doing it for over 20 years, so yeah. I'd be okay with that too.
Yeah, and we thank you for your service, believe me. I know this is a high-paying job and a lot of stress, but so we thank you for that. That all said, kind of like I'll go back to where I started from, which is because it's an elected body, therefore you have to follow those campaign finance laws and submit your campaign and expenditure reports, I think is what you were saying.
Zero.
I do not know the frequency of that, but that is all
at least 4 times.
Yeah, quarterly. Now, you have in front of you, and for the members out here in the audience, there's a one-pager that talks about filing information for you. There are no filing fees for this office. There's a what's called a candidate guide that is available on our county election website if you are interested in filing. There's also then general information about the upcoming elections, I should say. More information about a registrar of voters, and then a location to go if you want to file for candidacy at the Clark County Government Center, and then some other general information. So this, I guess, one page or two-sided is pretty good and handy for you if you're interested, or anybody here in the community is interested to run for office, or even just get general election information from our website.
Is that in here?
Okay. This is kind of a condensed summary version of that, but all this information comes from the guide. And this is a non-judicial guide. There's a judicial guide that justice of the peace in this community would then consider. But their candidacy, their filing period, I think just ended on the 10th, or it ends this Friday, if I remember that right. So if you're running for judicial office of justice of the peace, their filing period is actually, I think we're either at the end of it now, or we just ended on Friday the 10th. But then for non-judicial offices like your office, yours is going to be March 2nd through the 13th of this year.
So,
okay? I hope that makes sense. I'm sorry, it's a lot of information.
You need to go on because I have a question on what you just said on number 4 here.
Okay.
The Town Advisory Board training schedule for Saturday, February 8, 2020 at the Las Vegas Valley Water District located at 1001 South Valley View Boulevard in Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Why are they having the training on February 8th when the election won't be until next November, right, or September?
These are two separate items. If we're ready to move to item 4, we can. Do you want to ask for any questions on item 3 first?
No.
Any additional questions? No? You want to move to item 4?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. So we're good. So we're done with item 3. Mm-hmm. Now we're moving on to item 4. So item 4, Board, as you may recall, about a year ago, actually, you were invited to, I'm not sure I saw a lot of you there, but you were invited to attend a training, or what we call an orientation training, for all elected and or appointed members to the 19 town boards that we have. During that time, you were, part of the presentation and part of the orientation included me, for better or for worse, give you an overview of what county code reads and state law reads regarding to the town advisory boards. Two, also about ethics and professionalism. And then also we had our district attorney present on ethics and ethics law in the state and how it applies to you. And then also open meeting law and how that applies to this board. Now we, from our Department of Administrative Services, we help you and manage this process for you. But what we do not get involved with is what Mr. Houston mentioned, which is the filing of those campaign reports, okay? But outside of that, everything else we assist you with. Now, what we're doing this year, statute requires that there is training on an annual basis for you. So we accommodate that on the odd numbered years because you were all generally either elected or appointed to serve a 2-year term. But on even numbered years like this year, unless there have been major changes to state law during the legislature, which means in odd numbered years, we just ask you to go online, look at the videos that we have, we filmed that orientation a year ago, and just acknowledge that you watched the video and you understand what
That's what we did last time.
2 years ago. This time, what we're doing is we're gonna do an in-person training instead of watching the video. There's been some issues that have come to light for us as a department, as the county, that we need to address and want to address in person. So we're gonna go ahead and have an in-person training scheduled for that Saturday, February 8th. So this is separate of the filing. The filing is one issue, but this is actually now for those that are members, this is part of your annual requirement that we're gonna do this time in person versus through a video.
Okay.
I need some water. Are we good?
That's good.
I'm just joking. Okay. So does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So I know it's Saturday, February 8th. Between 8 and 8:30, we're going to do registration and continental breakfast. Then I will provide some opening comments, and then we'll have a few other folks speak. And then we should be done by noon. I think last time we were done about 11:15, yeah, plus or minus, somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. I think we'll be right on track to finish before noon, no later than noon for sure.
Okay,
so I hope you can make it. I know it is quite a drive from here.
It starts at what time?
It starts, technically, the actual training starts at 8:30. But between 8 and 8:30, it's going to be, or 8 and 8:35, or no, 8 and 8:30 is going to be registration and continental breakfast.
Okay.
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 I can call everybody if you want at 5:30 or 5.
No, you don't need to do that. You don't need to do that.
I just need your phone number, so I have someone to have on that. And I'm not going to get it, it sounds like.
It's unlisted.
It's unlisted, yeah.
Smart.
There you go.
Okay.
Okay, are we ready to go on?
Sure.
Okay. Planning and zoning, we have nothing. General business, we have the Moapa Valley Town Advisory Board to approve the 2020-2021 meeting calendar for possible action.
Okay, so board, this is Alex Ortiz again, and I should have been saying that the last couple of items, for the record at least. So before you, you have about 13 months of proposed meeting dates and times that coincide with your every other week meeting schedule. So if we look at, we can either work through this through the month by month, but there's a couple of things I do want to point out because I will have some questions for you to make sure that at least today, what we approve as is kind of approved today here is the proposed schedule for the rest of the year. And I just want to talk through that some of this here. If you look at the January, obviously with the 15th, and we are meeting here tonight, so that's done. You have a standing monthly meeting, essentially the third or so week of the month, and then you have a special call meeting, essentially the second meeting of the month or the fifth week of the month. So we have the 15th today, the 29th, you would have a special call meeting. Are you okay with that for January?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes? Okay. I'm just going to go through this, and then we'll take one motion at the end, okay? That would include all the changes that we have in. And then for February, you have your regular meeting scheduled for February 12th, and then your special call meeting for the 26th. With all these meetings, I will say they are scheduled to start at 7. For March, we have your regular meeting on the 11th. And then we have, actually, we do not have a special call meeting for March. Yes, actually, technically, the way it lines up, your special call meeting would then become April 1st, mm-hmm. Okay? In April, outside of the special call meeting April 1st, and you have your regular meeting for the 15th, and then you have another special call meeting on the 29th. Now, one of the things that we added to these calendars for you are some special, one, the holidays, so you know when those occur, but then also other information like spring break, which is in April 6th through the 9th, and the fair, Clark County Fair and Rodeo is the 8th, 9th, and 10th, okay? Now, we don't have to decide on those, but I just want that to reflect on the record here so you know, in case you're considering changing the meeting. If we look at May, your first scheduled meeting or your scheduled meeting is for May the 13th, and then your special call meeting is on May the 27th. You have a holiday that Monday, Memorial Day. And then it says you're blocked for early voting in Overton. I have to talk to Amelia about that one. I don't remember that one. But this space may or may not be available on May 27th. But that's a special call meeting anyway,
yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
In June, your scheduled meeting is for June 10th, your regular scheduled meeting, June 10th, and then there is no special call meeting until we hit July 1st, okay? One thing about June, though, is that the primary election will occur on the Tuesday before your regular meeting. So on June 9th is the primary election, which I believe they utilize this space for
yeah,
a vote center?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, they do.
Last year, they used the senior center.
The senior center? Yeah, I'd have to look. Actually, I don't, you know what, and I think you're right. Maybe they'll continue. Now, as you know, this last election, they changed from polling sites to vote centers, where anybody can vote at any vote center. Okay, and that's true throughout the county. Okay? All right. We look at July 1st is your special call meeting. Your regular meeting is scheduled for July 15th. And then your next special call meeting is scheduled for July 29th. Look at August. You have your regular meeting on August 12th, special call meeting on the 26th. September, You have your regular meeting on September 9th, Labor Day being that Monday the 7th. And then you have your special call meeting on September 30th. October, your regular meeting is October 14th, with your special call meeting being the 28th. Okay. Now, we go into November. So November, here we have an issue. November 11th is Veterans Day. It is a holiday for us. That is your scheduled meeting date and time. Do you want to adjust that or cancel that meeting? Or I guess keep the meeting, but it's a holiday. So if you want, would you like to cancel that meeting or change the date of that regular meeting?
Could we have it on the special call day on the 25th?
We could do that because your special call is the 25th. Now, that is the day before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
The day before the holiday. So Thursday is an interesting month from that perspective. So I'll let you think about that and talk about that amongst yourself there if you like.
Do you cancel it all together?
Yeah, I was going to say, there's no way I'll make the Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving is totally out.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We're going to cancel it all together, I think.
Cancel both meetings?
All together, yeah.
Well, actually, not hold the special meeting, but cancel the regular meeting?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And if something comes up, obviously, as long as we can meet and vote on it on a prior month, we can make adjustments, okay? Mm-hmm. But for now, then sounds like that with, the proposal is to go ahead and cancel November 11th,
mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes.
All right, and now we're going to December. December, your regular meeting is scheduled for the 9th, and then your special call meeting will be scheduled for the 30th, okay? All right, and then into January, and this may change, but for now we have January 13th of 2021 is your regular meeting, and your special call meeting is January 27th, 2021. All that said, the only adjustment that I hear that we need to make is to cancel the November 11th meeting. Is that accurate?
That's correct. Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Chair, if you'd like to call for a motion.
Okay, do I hear a motion for canceling November 11th meeting completely?
I'll make that motion to cancel the November board meeting.
Okay, we have a motion on the table. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Are we ready to go on now? Okay, our next thing is comments by the general public, a period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relative to the board council jurisdiction will be held. No vote may be taken on matters not listed on the posted agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium if applicable. Clearly state your name and address and spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board council or council wishes to extend the length of the presentation, this will be done by the chair or board council by a majority vote. Do we have any public comments?
Yeah.
Okay, Ralph.
Ralph Starita, Logandale. Okay, I believe we cancel the summer months for the town board meetings and reopen them again in September, like from June. To
no.
We're required really to have one at least once a month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Always have.
If there's nothing on the agenda, we'll get notice that the meeting's been canceled. If there's nothing on the agenda.
I just thought that we had, must be another one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do
Doreen Starita, Lovendale. I wasn't here last month, and I happened to see where there was some issue about Airport Road, and I don't know if that was an item that was going to be agendized or just somebody I know came under public concerns about. And is that anything we're going to be taking up later, or do we know?
I seen some information sent out to us. I thought it might be on the agenda, but it didn't make it on it. But I did have a couple that came and talked to me.
That's what I had seen, something in the minutes, and curious, since I wasn't here last month.
The biggest issue that I seen there, and then this is just a discussion, but the issue that they had was, of course, increased traffic in front of their homes. Because it's going to jog down some streets that don't really have much traffic and actually don't have, they have right of way, but they have to get graded, and they're going to go across in front of people's houses that don't normally get that. Same thing that happened when they changed the first section of it and took care of that first section of the Airport Road out. So it's pretty similar.
Sorry, let me jump in. The dialogue could only be essentially the public asking, because we do not have that on the agenda at this time.
Right, no, and I understand that, but that's why I was asking, since I saw it in the minutes that somebody had raised it. I didn't know if that is going to be something that is going to be agendized. I don't live near Airport Road. It was just a curiosity question, what came of that and if it's going to become anything.
I can say that may come at a future town board meeting.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, sorry. I just want to make sure, because we don't have any agenda, so we got to be careful.
No, right. No, I understand.
All right.
I'm Jim Riley, 1625 North Anderson Street. This affects me. I met the consultant out there this afternoon. He was surveying the area, indicated that he had no knowledge of any public meetings or anything else that the aviation department was going to undertake. Otherwise, he could tell me absolutely nothing about the future of that program. Just that's the only update I've got.
My name is Shannon Munn, M-U-N-N, in Logandale, and I am a member of the Moapa Valley Revitalization Project, or MVRP, and I don't know if you guys remember an event that was held last year called Loop at Moapa Valley. I am new to the area, just joined MVRP this past fall, and together with Mary Kay and Jean, we're going to be kind of co-chairing the Loop event this year, so it's going to take place on March the 28th. This year, I just want to go and put it on you guys' radar. And for any questions, there is a web address you can go to. It is theloop@moapavalley.com. And then maybe next month I can come back with a little presentation, get some more information. Thank you. Thank you.
I have one report too. Since you didn't do committee reports, but whatever.
I don't have committee reports.
Okay, whatever. I sit on the CDAC committee as a town board member. We go every other Tuesday, and on that CDAC, this happens to be of the fifth year, so they're doing community block grants. In the community block grant, there was 22 people that came in and asked for some of these grants. There was $81 million in ask, and some of those are like Clark County Parks and Rec. There's several different people that come. And there's also other nonprofits that come in and ask for the money. They have approximately $28.5 million that's available. We have to rate those, and then we'll be making the decision. We have to have those turned in by Monday. They extended it from today to Monday. And once those are turned in, then we'll have our next meeting, which is on Tuesday. And then we'll go through that and come up with the recommendations that'll go to the Board of County Commissioners. After that, we're not doing the ESG funds this year. Continuum of Care that we talked about on this count is doing the ESG funds, but we'll be doing the home lift type, and that will be the next round that we go through. And I'm not quite sure how much money's available on that, but that's something that's going on right now that will, and it happens every year other than the community block grants, where they distribute through HUD federal funding to different nonprofit groups like Salvation Army and Shade Tree and many others that come in. A lot of charity, faith-based charities, different like Catholic charities, Lutheran charities, and different things like that. And as a town board member, I've been assigning myself for the last several years, because nobody really wants to go do it, and go to Vegas and go to that. And the sad part about that, it doesn't really affect us much, but we do have one project there that happened to come up on that, and it was a splash pad in Overton, which Clark County Public Works had submitted for it. But there were five projects that they had submitted there, but whatever. So that's my report. We are represented, we are going there, and we will be talking about that.
Okay.
Okay?
All right, any other public comment? Our next meeting is February 12th at 7 o'clock, 2020. This meeting's adjourned.
There we go. Thank you. You're welcome. February
8th. If you want, I think Amelia may have sent out a request for items. I believe she did.
Used to be a standard item. It used to, when you go to the president, said, do we have any committee reports? And then we also had, like Janice would be doing what you did, if you had some informational items.
Oh, yes, that is true.
Yeah. The informational items, so Janice would say, I have this and this.
Yeah.
Or here's an answer from your last meeting. Yeah. Comment or question that needed to be answered, and then but that's fine.
We can add something like that. I mean, I just gotta.
We don't meet on. I mean, the only other one that is fairly active and is Judy Metz, and it's the fire board. And she goes to those meetings, and once in a while she'll come and report that. So that's only the two committees that I know that are really active.
Which ones are they then?
The fire board.
Fire.
We have appointed Judy Metz as our representative of the town board. That's the fire board.
Well,
okay. Yes, sir.
What's the latest?
Established down here.
Yes, the fire prevention district.
It's actually the fire district.
Okay.
It's the fire district for our community, for Mapa Valley. They have their own district.
You correct, yep.
And then the other thing is the CDAC committee, which happens every year. It's only about a 3-month process.
Yeah.
Just go to those meetings.
Okay.
So I've been doing that for several years.
Okay. We can, if you're willing to put another update, I can put you on the agenda.
We'll probably have the recommendation.
Yeah. Are you officially out? So who is this?
The recommendation is necessarily announced. I just wanted to know that we're there. Several people that are there.
The guy that works over there in Kay's office.
Wherever you want to go, that's fine. I got to drive that far.
So, Vernon, how you doing?
They made it okay?
Yeah, they made it okay. They were there by 6:30, I think they said. They left at 6 in the morning.
I know.
He used to say, I'll blow the horns when I'm going by.
Are you talking about the train, right? No. With the Williams Brothers song?
Yeah. I don't know why.
So we got in by 7
years. Your dad is impulsive to get down there.
They do a good job.
Well, and he doesn't want to go.
It's all free.
Cornbread and chili and hot dogs.
And then he'd have waited until after.
About every year.